From WIPR in Baltimore, I'm Tom Hall, and this is Choral Arts Classics. Tonight, a conversation with several local composers about their musical settings of a Latin text that has been part of the canon of art music for centuries. We'll hear five world premiere performances of Ubi Caritas, a text from the Catholic tradition that is sung or said at services on the Thursday before Easter. We'll hear recordings of performances by a new chorus here in Baltimore founded to feature the music of local composers called Canticum Novum. The directors of the chorus, Douglas Buchanan and Joshua Bornfield, are also composers. We'll talk with them about their chorus and their music along with Michael Rickleton and John Belcott. All of these composers are also singing members of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Hello again, and thanks for joining us for Choral Arts Classics. I'm Tom Hall, the music director of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society and culture editor for Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast here on 88.1 WYPR. So glad you could be with us tonight as we finish up our 12th season of listening to and talking about great choral music. We do this on the last Tuesday night of the month from September through April, and as always, I appreciate your tuning in and joining us tonight and joining us over these past 12 years. Ubi Caritas is a text that is said or sung, as I mentioned, on the Maundy Thursday services in the Catholic Church. Now, Maundy Thursday is the night that Christ and his disciples gathered for the Last Supper, the night before the crucifixion and a few nights before Easter. There are three verses to this antiphon, and we'll find as we hear each setting tonight that some composers set all three and others set part of the text, and one composer even adds some words in English to the Latin original. The first verse translates as follows. Ubi caritas et amor Deus ibi est is in Latin. It means, where there is charity and love, God is. The love of Christ has gathered us into one. Let us rejoice and be glad in him. Let us fear and let us love the living God. And from a sincere heart, let us love each other. So we'll start tonight with a very famous setting of this text, one by the great French composer Maurice Duruflé. Duruflé died in 1986, and his career as an organist and composer made him one of the most prominent French musicians in the 20th century. This recording of Duruflé's Ubi Caritas was made at a live performance that I conducted last spring with the Choral Arts Full Chorus. Music of Duruflé, our first of six different settings of Ubi Caritas here on Choral Arts Classics. on 88.1 WIPR. It's Choral Arts Classics. I'm Tom Hall. We started the proceedings tonight with a recording of a live performance of a setting of the text Ubi Caritas et Amor by the great French composer Maurice Durufle. This from a performance by the Baltimore Choral Arts Society Full Chorus that took place about a year ago at Towson United Methodist Church. And now I'm pleased to welcome back to Choral Arts Classics two of the composers whose music we'll hear on tonight's show. They are also the co-founders of Canticum Novum, a chorus that made its introduction to the choral scene here in Baltimore about a year ago. Douglas Buchanan is the conductor and music director. Joshua Bornfield is the artistic director. Good to see you guys both.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So, Doug, tell us about the genesis of this group, why you decided to put it together.
There's a bunch of composers in Baltimore who are also singers and sometimes conductors as well. And we had been wanting to put forward some new choral music and get together and sing. And last year, that came to fruition. We were really interested in doing new music and also really old music. So that hence the name Canticum Novum, or new song. But of course, it's in Latin, which is a little bit older than we're used to talking. Mm-hmm. So we gathered together and we grouped a program together based around this text, Ubi Caritas, because there's so many wonderful settings of it. There's, of course, these old chants. There's the Durufle setting, which we just heard. But then also there were five composers who wrote new settings of this that were premiered in this concert.
Right, and that's what we'll be listening to as our program proceeds this evening. So, Joshua Bornfield, how do you guys divide the labor here? You're listed as the artistic director. Doug is the conductor, music director. What does that mean?
Truth be told, when Doug and I plan these concerts, we go out typically for Thai food and we discuss the kind of music that we're interested in having programs and come up with things that we can be really, truly excited about. So we're both responsible, not just for stewardship of the ensemble, but also for recruitment. Doug handles the conducting. I've run sectionals. So it really is shared labor. Mm-hmm. The titles exist mostly because we founded an ensemble and needed to have particular titles by which we could associate ourselves.
Yeah, but that's good that you're really splitting the whole thing. And Doug, how many singers will we be hearing tonight in these performances?
Tonight there's about 20 singers, so it's a chamber chorus size. But the wonderful thing about it is that they blend really, really well and have great autonomy, for which they'll need that skill in a lot of the difficult sections.
And so, Joshua Bornfield, why the text Ubi Caritas? Why did you alight upon this as the project that each of you five decided to write musical settings up?
This text is so mellifluous and beautiful in its own presentation that it lends itself very well to settings in any number of different musical languages. And we found that it would be most appropriate to use it because we were having such different composers write pieces, that they could use it as a kind of a blank slate on which to paint whatever musical language they desired.
And with a group this size, practically, it makes great sense to be doing some of this older repertoire, which is really written with a more chamber sound in mind, maybe 16 to 20 singers, if not less. But it also shows this scope and a sort of connectedness between these different times, which the text itself emphasizes, that there's a sort of unity and disparity.
Mm-hmm. And Josh?
There's a certain practicality to having a chamber chorus available to us now, because it's something that we can put together on a very limited budget and something that we can do with very close friends, keep the musicianship incredibly high. You know, we also face the same things when we deal with early music. So as a practical consideration, these musics pair incredibly well together, mm-hmm. because the chamber music aspect really gets to come forward in both of them.
Sure. Well, let's hear the choir. And Josh, we're going to hear your setting of Ubi Caritas first tonight. Tell us how you approached the composition of this piece.
So, as I was looking at the text, what struck me most about it was the notion of three basic ideas. Ubi Caritas, where there is care, et amor, love, Deus ibi est, there is faith. This reminds me of the three basic pillars of the Hebrew faith, teshuvah, tefillah, tzedakah, faith, hope, and charity. And being a member of that faith group, it seemed so appropriate to me that we would reflect on one faith tradition using a prayer from another. So I tried to reflect the kind of Hebrew principles behind this Christian prayer in a way that would be non-intrusive to the listener. So the listener can simply listen and appreciate the music for what it is without necessarily having all of that stuck in their faces. Instead, the way that my piece works with regard to timbre and density is that it's an attempt to reflect that Deus ibi est, right? That God is not just here in this large group, God is here in a solo, God is here in one group against another, God is here in support between one soloist and an ensemble. God is even present when you only have one person singing alone, sitting close to silence. That everywhere, everywhere, God is.
Deus ibi est. Yeah, great. Indeed. All right, well, let's give this a listen. This is Music of Joshua Bornfield, one of our guests this evening. Features the Canticum Novum Chorus, along with soloist Carrie Hollihan, Lindsay Falbo, Brian Bartoldis, and Josh Wilson. Music of Joshua Bornfield here on Choral Arts Classics.
Thank you.
You're listening to Choral Arts Classics on 88.1 WYPR. Music by Joshua Bornfield, the artistic director of Canticum Novum, the chorus we heard in this live performance of his setting of Ubi Caritas. This concert took place at the Old St. Paul's Church in Baltimore last spring. We heard soloists Carrie Hollihan, Lindsay Falbo, Brian Bartoldus, and Joshua Wilson. Douglas Buchanan conducted. William Wisnam played the organ. Doug Buchanan and Josh Bornfield join me tonight, along with John Belcott and Michael Rickleton, all of whom have composed these settings of Ubi Caritas that we're listening to tonight on this season's finale edition of Choral Arts Classics. Josh Bornfield, that was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you again for having me.
That's great. So, Doug Buchanan, when you approach a setting, and we're going to listen to your setting coming up, is the fact that this text that was originally intended for a liturgical use, does that inform your approach to setting it musically?
Certainly. And sometimes when I approach a text, I think about it specifically for liturgical use, being a choral conductor and a organist at a church. That certainly informs my thinking. For this, I knew that I could be a little bit more expansive with it, but still work within that sort of universe that we have with liturgical music. It's very contrapuntal. There are certainly some more tonal elements to it than in some of my other compositions.
Mm-hmm. And John Belcott, let me turn to you. You also are a church musician. You work in that arena as well as a composer and a singer. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, all of you guys sing with us with the Choral Arts Society. But is your work as a church musician informative to what you write as a composer?
Absolutely. I've been singing in Anglican choirs in Baltimore for the past decade, and now I'm a director at a church in Mount Vernon. And I think coming up in that tradition and always being a chorister, it informs entirely the way I compose coming from that tradition. And a lot of great Anglican repertoire out there, a lot of early music, and I love Renaissance music. And so that whole language informs my music,
sure.
Even though I'll explore other ideas that are more philosophical to my own timbres and mm-hmm. silence and yeah.
Yeah. And Michael Rickleton, you've been a singer for a long time. Has your singing often been, you know, in liturgical settings or has it been in the sort of professional choir universe? What sort of vocal work have you done and how does that inform what you're writing?
My experience has pretty much been equal between professional and liturgical. I think particularly with this, with my setting of Ubi Caritas, and I think what's so interesting here is that, you know, being able to hear Josh's interpretation of the same text and Doug and John is that, you know, for me, the text was very much about the experience of the text and that experience through the liturgical environment.
And is that the case with virtually any text you would set, or is it liturgical texts in particular that have that dimension?
Consciously, not necessarily, but uh-huh. unconsciously, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's, at least for myself, a natural filter.
Uh-huh. And Josh Bornfield, there are three verses to this antiphon, three written verses. Some folks, like the Maurice Durufle setting that we heard, chose to set only the first one. We don't hear the second two. What did you decide to do and how did you make that decision?
I chose to view this prayer, the second and third stanzas of it, as being a kind of poetic backdrop to further illustrate what I wanted to do with the text. So the idea in the first two lines of the prayer, they cycle through the entire piece and become a kind of an underpinning by which I can use the other two stanzas, which are presented in full as being kind of addenda to that idea,
mm-hmm.
Where, again, they're seen mostly as poetry and as affect, much more so than having a liturgical purpose.
Yeah, again, those first two lines, Ubi Caritas et amor Deus ibi est in Latin, where charity and love are, Deus ibi est, God is there as well. So, Doug Buchanan, we're going to give a listen to your setting. How many verses of this antiphon did you decide to throw into the soup here?
I went with all three. I figured if I was going to try to tackle this text, I'd try to deal with the whole thing. There is so much great imagery in here. I thought I'd experiment with it. It basically takes the chant universe. It doesn't quote the chant exactly, but I essentially create my own chant that's set canonically throughout. It's very contrapuntal, and that was sort of my way of demonstrating this unity, this idea of wherever there's charity and love, God is there. So if God is omnipresent, I took this chant and its omnipresence throughout, whether it's taken apart or thrown backwards or put upside down, it's always present somewhere. And so I wanted to demonstrate that in various ways. For instance, in the second verse where we have the text says, Christ is in our midst, the altos actually have the chant line and they're holding it for a long time and they're in the center and all these different parts are sort of spiraling around them and they provide this central pillar of faith, to use Josh's imagery, around which everything can rotate.
Great. Well, let's give it a listen. This is the Canticum Novum chorus conducted by Doug Buchanan, singing music by Douglas Buchanan, his setting of Ubi Caritas, next up on Choral Arts Classics.
Thank you.
on 88.1 WYPR. It's Choral Arts Classics, music by one of my guests this evening, Douglas Buchanan, the music director and conductor of Canticum Novum, the chorus performing his setting here of Ubi Caritas in this live performance, which Doug Buchanan himself conducted at the Old St. Paul's Church on May 7th, 2014. The chorus was joined in this performance by the organist William Wisnam. That was beautiful, Doug. Thank you very much for sharing that.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Really enjoyed it. Michael Rickleton, we're going to listen to your setting next, and you have decided not only to mine the words of this Ubi Caritas antiphon, but you've actually added some words in English. Why did you decide to approach it that way?
Well, setting a text that was is fairly common, and of course, you know, we have the Durafle, which is a piece that I think most singers probably know.
Yeah, that's really an iconic piece. If you're right. A choral singer, you have sung the Ubi Caritas setting of Durafle.
So right.
It's kind of like if you say, I'm going to make a setting of I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Exactly.
Everybody knows the Lennon McCartney
exactly.
version.
Yeah. Exactly. I tried to find a way to make the project a bit more interesting for myself. And to do that, I decided to actually focus on not just the text itself, but the meaning of the text. So I tried to come up with a way to enhance what the text was actually saying, but do it in possibly a more, I don't know, diverse way. So the original concept was to actually have text in German and Italian and French and English and pair that with the original Latin. That proved to be a little too muddy. So I decided to choose a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in order to comment on my reading of the text. So what we have here is a large group of singers and two soloists in this performance. The soloists are the only ones who actually sing the Ubi Caritas text. So what we have are two different functioning units. The large chorus, we could call the people, and the soloist or small women's chorus as angelic intercessories.
Yeah, so we have though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love. I am become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So we've got that contrasted with
right.
this Ubi Caritas, where charity and love are,
right.
God is.
So know? I guess the point, at least to put forth my interpretation of the text, is that it is from God that we have love. So therefore, although I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am nothing. Well, we're nothing because we don't have God. Mm-hmm. So I thought the juxtaposition of the two disparate texts might enhance the Latin text, I think.
Yeah, interesting. So John Bellcott, a lot of this is about getting your music out there. I mean, as a composer, young composers, you know, there are various ways of getting that music that you're writing, you know, disseminated with the technology we have with the internet and the IT resources available to your generation that weren't available to people in my generation, for example. You got a lot of different ways, and this is an interesting way of doing it, forming your own chorus, doing these concerts, making these nice recordings. This is a big part of this endeavor, isn't it?
Well, I think so, though I think that's not necessarily the foremost reason. I think that really fellowship, getting together with good people, good friends, good composers, and creating good music to share with a larger audience that's around these themes of love, charity, brotherhood, is much more important. And producing a good experience for anybody that can listen and find a way to connect to the text through our music is, I think, slightly more important. But, you know, we can share it on the web and have websites and do those fun things too.
Yeah. You can get it out there, and you can even put it on Choral Arts Classics.
Go,
kicking it old school here on radio. That's
all right.
That's okay. All right, so let's go now to this next setting in our Festival of Ubi Caritas settings. This one by Michael Rickleton, music of Michael Rickleton, performed by Canticum Novum here on Choral Arts Classics. On Choral Arts Classics, music by Michael Rickleton, his setting of Ubi Caritas. Douglas Buchanan conducted the Canti Cum Novum Chorus with sopranos Nola Richardson and Carrie Hollihan in this live performance. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Choral Arts Classics here on WIPR. We're listening to several different settings of this wonderful Latin text, Ubi Caritas et Amor Deus Ibi Est, where charity and love are. God is. That was terrific, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So,
Josh Bornfield, I want to ask you about an initiative that you have downtown and a venue that you are now curating concerts for at the War Memorial. Tell us about that. This is a really exciting, you not only have an exciting new chorus, but an exciting new venue to add to the mix in Baltimore.
Absolutely. The War Memorial Arts Initiative, it views the building less as a venue and more as a monument to the people for whom it was erected and for the people whom it serves, meaning that it was built to memorialize the veterans who passed away from the state of Maryland in World War I, but serves as this resplendent monument that is to be used by the people of Baltimore and of Maryland to reflect upon that honor and the privilege of living in a free state. So instead of seeing it as a place where we might go and have a rowdy concert, it's a place where we can come and reflect and really engage with a kind of a cultural conversation that honors those who fell for us.
Yeah, that's great. And Doug Buchanan, will Canti Cum Novum be doing some projects at the War Memorial in this coming season?
Not this coming season, but we've got some plans in the works for afterwards.
Excellent. Now, you guys were on hiatus this current season after you did your first concerts last year. But next year, you're coming back with a vengeance. Tell us about some of the plans.
Yeah, we wanted to take some time to really plan things out. And this first concert was a great experience, but with five new premieres, that's a lot of work to put in. So we wanted to make sure that things were planned out and ready to go. This next season, we've got a performance in November coming up at Emmanuel Episcopal Church downtown in Mount Vernon. We're really excited about that because we'll be giving a world premiere of a piece called From Ecclesiastes by Michael Hirsch, who taught many of us here in the room. So that'll be a fantastic time. And then in May, we'll be doing a premiere by another Peabody composer named Natalie Draper, who writes some really beautiful vocal music. And so we'll be excited to do that. So the fall concert is Songs of Night and Shadow, and the spring concert is Songs of Light and Power.
Terrific. So John Bellcott, we're going to hear your setting of Ubi Caritas up next. When you were composing this, were you cognizant? Were you thinking about Canti Cum Novum in particular? In other words, were you writing for this particular grouping of voices?
Yeah, definitely. It's really a joy to be able to work with extremely talented friends, and I just knew how capable the ensemble was, and so I didn't hold back at all in producing some fairly challenging music to create the entire architecture. My piece, I think, will on its surface kind of seem rather simple, but it's kind of a beast to sing, yeah.
And how did you approach it? What was your animating principle?
Well, it was impossible for me to escape the chant. I had to, you know, go back to the Liber Usualis, which is the original Gregorian chant settings of the text. And this text is specifically occurs at one point in the liturgical calendar, and that's on Maundy Thursday during the feet washing. Mm-hmm. So
just to make sure that folks understand, but by chant, there, you know, in other words, these words, Ubi Caritas et Amor, are set to a particular melody that everybody sang, you know, from these the earliest times of the Christian church. Ubi Caritas et Amor, Deus ibi est. So there's a tune that's affiliated specifically with those words.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And you've worked that into the act.
It had to be. I couldn't escape it. I really tried to come up with different things, and for me, the text and the music was inseparable. So, and then through that too, I went back to the Durafle, a piece that we all love. And in Durafle's setting, he basically keeps the chant intact, and it's just harmonized through chords. So it was kind of hard to get away from that, too. So I ended up using the entire chant line as a bit of a, let's just say that that's the gamut. And then I can pick and choose notes from within the chant, and I can spread them out all over the place.
All right. Well, let's give this a listen. John Belcott, our next composer of the text Ubi Caritas. This was a world premiere performance. This is now, as far as I know, all of the performances we're hearing tonight are world premiere broadcast performances of Ubi Caritas, featuring the Canticum Novum chorus. And in this performance, Nola Richardson is the soprano soloist.
Thank you.
Music by John Bellcott here on Choral Arts Classics. His setting of Ubi Caritas was performed by Canticum Novum, a new chamber choir in Baltimore founded to specialize in early music and contemporary music. Douglas Buchanan conducted. Nola Richardson was the soprano soloist. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Choral Arts Classics on 88.1 WIPR, and we're listening to world premieres of different settings of Ubi Caritas. Like all of the music that we've heard so far tonight, these new compositions were written by members of the Baltimore Choral Arts Chorus. Well, John, that was gorgeous. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
So, Michael Rickleton, you have studied composition and you have taught composition. We were talking about Michael Hirsch a little bit ago and how you guys, you know, have worked with him and some of the other composers over at Peabody. How does somebody learn to compose? How does one teach someone how to compose? That seems like a daunting task.
Quite daunting, yes. Well, how does one learn to compose? By listening to as much music as possible, by listening to as much new music as possible, by listening to as much old music as possible. I don't know if there's any better teacher than the literature that's already there.
Yeah.
And then as far as teaching composition, I think it's about guiding students through great literature, offering interpretation, offering insight into process and craft. But again, I think it all goes back to listening to as much music as possible, knowing the literature.
Yeah, and Josh Bornfield, I mean, when you go to a piano lesson, the teacher says, okay, put your fingers here, put your fingers there, make your wrist go higher, make your wrist go lower, use the second finger instead of the third finger on this note. When you go and you bring a composition to a teacher, does he or she say, oh, nope, don't make this a G, make this an F sharp instead? I mean, how does that work?
That varies teacher by teacher. I've had teachers that have done that, and I also had teachers who gave a much more liberal approach to teaching, which I bonded with much, much better. And those teachers... they tended, instead of teaching me how to compose, they taught me how to listen. I found that that was really the best possible use of both of our times. They didn't just tell me what literature to go to, but instead told me why it was that I should be listening to these pieces, what it is inside them that makes them tick that an average listener might not be able to pick up on just in a first listen in a concert hall, but instead to really become virtuosic at the process of listening and listening to everything, again, regardless of genre or style, listening for substance rather than surface matter. That's really where the heart and soul of composition lies, at least in my perspective and pedagogy.
Yeah, that's great. So, Doug Buchanan, let me ask you to tell us about this final setting that we're going to hear of Ubi Caritas. It's by a colleague of yours named Sean Doyle. Sean is now teaching music in upstate New York, and he's not able to join us tonight, but he was also one of the five guys that you featured in this Ubi Caritas feast last year. So tell us a little bit about Sean and his piece.
So Sean's a wonderful composer and a great teacher. He's teaching right now up at SUNY Fredonia, and we're very happy for him. He just received his doctorate from Peabody. He is really well-versed in choral repertoire. He's actually a church director up there, a church music director. And that was one of the things that really informed him about this. He loved this world. He calls it the austere world of the Renaissance motet. And he loved this idea, and he talked to me about how his setting sort of danced with this idea. So he took his musical language, and he took sort of the feel of a Renaissance motet and let them kind of dance together. And I loved that image because there's actually parts of his music that are dancing, that sort of move and undulate in really interesting ways. And he takes the Ubi Caritas setting, he brings it back sort of like pillars in between. And so it keeps coming back and interacts with some older style chords and also some of Sean's own unique tonal language as well, and creates what I think is a really, really lovely piece.
All right, so just like the chorus itself, Canticum Novum, a nice mix of the old and the new.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's give this a listen. Kelly Buchanan is one of our soloists. It's reputed that Kelly is a close personal friend of Douglas Buchanan. Joshua Bornfield and Joshua Zanzi are also the soloists in this performance of music by Sean Doyle, our final Ubi Caritas setting this evening on Choral Arts Classics.
Thank you.
Our sixth and final setting of the Latin text Ubi Caritas, Canticum Novum, a chorus devoted to music by contemporary composers and ancient composers, sang this Ubi Caritas setting by Sean Doyle. Once again, Douglas Buchanan was the conductor in this live performance recorded at Old St. Paul's Church in May of 2014. The Canticum Novum chorus was joined by soloist Kelly Buchanan, Joshua Zanzi, and Joshua Bornfield, who's also one of our composers this evening and a co-artistic director of Canticum Novum. Well, thank you so much to Sean. We appreciate it. We know he's listening up there in Fredonia. And guys, I really appreciate you guys coming in. Thanks so much. This was a really interesting idea to have all these different takes on this beautiful text. So thanks, and we'll see you soon.
Great. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm Tom Hall, and that'll do it for this edition and for this season of Choral Arts Classics. We'll be back with you here on WIPR in the fall. The Choral Arts Chorus will be appearing with the Baltimore Symphony two more times in the next couple of months. On May 28th, we begin a five-concert series of music by the great film and television composer John Williams. Jack Everly conducts the BSO Pops and the Choral Arts Symphonic Chorus. Then in June, we'll join Maren Alsop and the BSO for a semi-stage production of Leonard Bernstein's marvelous musical Candide. That production begins Thursday, June 11th. Performances will be at both Strathmore Hall in Bethesda and at the Meyerhoff here in Baltimore. We've also announced our season for next year, which is a big year for the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. It's our 50th anniversary, and we'll be featuring some of the music that we've been closely associated with over this last half century, as well as a world premiere that we've commissioned to celebrate this special birthday. The musical offerings include three famous requiems by Mozart, Fauré, and Duriflay, along with a premiere by James Lee III, music by Randall Thompson, Norman Scribner, and Theodore Morrison, who was the founder and first music director of Baltimore Choral Arts. We'd love to tell you more about next season. For information or for tickets to any Baltimore Choral Arts Society concert, visit us on the web at baltimorechoralarts.com. choralartsbaltimore.org. Also, when you visit baltimorechoralarts.org, you can order choral arts CDs, including Christmas at America's First Cathedral and a recording we did with the jazz legend Dave Brubeck. Again, the address, baltimorechoralarts.org. I'm Tom Hall for WYPR and the Baltimore Choral Arts Society. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next season on Choral Arts Classics.